Let me take a few moments to set up what this day is about. Today is our Christmas blessing, 2018, but today we're going to walk through the Christmas story. It's the proper thing to do this time of the year. You believe that? So this is going to be our living room today, and we're just going to kind of gather and celebrate the Christmas story, and we're going to do it through the lives of God's people today. I believe this is a great thing to honor God through honoring people. But there's a big difference between knowing the Christmas story and living out the Christmas story. And today, as I read through the Christmas story, I'm going to draw some parallels between those who physically lived out the Christmas story so many years ago and those who are continuing to live out the Christmas story in their lives today. Now, you need to know this. None of the people that I parallel today even know they're going to be called out. The goal of this day is to remember how important it is to live His story and to have God's story pouring through your life every day. The reason being this, Jesus, when He was on the earth, made a difference in the lives of the people He met, and I believe He's called us to do the same. Amen? So today, we're going to honor God through honoring people in our church who have demonstrated the presence of God. Now, I've said this in previous years, and I'm going to repeat myself. We could honor so many worthy people in our church, and I know that very well. And I trust, listen to me careful, that no one will feel anything today but excitement for those who are being honored. Listen, they're not being honored because they asked to be. Our pastoral staff, we sat down and we selected and we chose these individuals this year to be honored. In fact, hear what Proverbs tells us in 27:2. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. So today, we're going to honor those that have this great godly character within them. And these are people who do not always focus on their own needs or their own desires and then miss out on celebrating those around them. And so I need you to join with me today. We're going to be honoring several families today. So I want you to see that the power of the church is in the power of each person's individual story as they've been changed by Christ. Really, the power of Christmas is found in all of our stories as we gather. That's why God called it the church. Because the story of redemption that began on the day Christ was born has given everyone an opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the power of our story can only begin in the power of His story. The story of Him coming to earth, the story of a mother who carried a Savior for all of us, the story of angels and shepherds and magi, the story of everyone who Jesus encountered, they were changed and impacted by who He was and what He came to do. But it all begins with the very first Christmas. Heavenly Father, this morning as we walk through Your Word, would You make it living and active in us? In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. In this part of the story, we have the angel Gabriel, of course, who's sent from God. He comes and he shares with an unmarried virgin woman that God's favor is upon her and that she's going to conceive. And in Luke 1:28, we read this. The angel says, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What a great opening statement. Gabriel shows up and says, you're favored, but the Lord is with you. He says, you'll have a son. You'll give him the name Jesus, and he'll be known as the Most High. And then the angel goes on to say the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. In other words, the Holy Spirit was going to completely envelop her and surround her. And Mary's response to all of this was incredible. In fact, here's her response again in 1:38. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Church, that really should be all of our responses to the direction of God in our lives. Whenever God says, this is what I want, we should say, let it be to me as you've decided. Anytime he speaks to us, we ought to be quick to respond. I am the Lord's servant. This morning, though, I want to start off with honoring a couple that's been a part of this body of believers for quite a few years. And I want you to just welcome with me as I invite them to join me this morning, Larry and Debbie Wheeler. You come. I see it right now. He's like, no idea. Just have a seat right there. I'm just going to join you here. Wow. You don't know what it is to honor you. Today, I want to honor you because you have served this church in so many different ways. Larry, from serving on the board from the time the inception of this church becoming autonomous as Northville Christian, you were there and you were on the board, to the moment that you were on the board as vice chair when this church went through a transition looking for a new pastor. And in fact, that was some 13 and a half years ago when the church went through the process and I ended up being the pastor here. I know I've done this for several years, and you've been on my heart and mind throughout all these years, both of you, and it's like I want to honor them, but I don't ever want you to think we're doing it because of something that I have to. This is I want to. You have been such a blessing. You've been so faithful and serving. I remember, though, I was only here 6 months, and our treasurer at that point, this is where I learned quickly about your heart, because I was here just 6 months, and our treasurer at that time was moving to Florida. And we're sitting in the board meeting, and it's like we find out this information, and it's like, because it's always December as we appoint our treasurer for the next year. And we're sitting there, it's like, who is going to do this? And we found a servant of the Lord who was saying, let it be to me, as however God sees fit. In fact, we've kind of walked through that for 13 and a half years. Because every year he's like, I don't know, is this what God wants? And that's been your heart. It's exactly that story of Mary. Just saying, God, whatever you want in my life, let it be to me as you desire. You've been our treasurer for many, many years, but more than that, you've been a teacher. You've served behind the scenes. In fact, you've done it with such incredible humility, and I thank you for that. You've never lorded it. You've just served the Lord and His church. I did get to thinking about one particular role that you've played, though. Something that's behind the scenes, probably very, very few people know this, but I'm going to let it out of the bag today. I thank you for saying yes to God, but I thank you for saying yes to this probably more than anything. You, along with another gentleman named Mike Savant, have been making hot chocolate for our Northville Lighted Parade for the last 12 years. And they just come in early in the morning and start making hot chocolate. And I kind of got to thinking, I'm like, how much chocolate have you guys made? Any clue? You have made over 1,300 gallons of hot chocolate. That has served over 22,000 people here in Northville, all because you're behind the scenes. And they received a cup of cocoa, but not in the name of Larry, in the name of Jesus. But somebody had to prepare it. And then there's Debbie. Debbie, you're not just a sidekick. You know that. Though she is a great sidekick. But you've served this church also with incredible love. You planted flowers outside and weeded them in our property. I heard, though, a story. It came from Pastor Bob, so you can talk to him about it. You have any idea what I'm going to tell? Pastor Bob, she's like, I don't know what's going to be. He was coming on the property. Of course, he had just come off the mission field, and he had come back, and he's helping us. And he, you know, she knows now. He came onto the property, and he saw this homeless woman and thought, you just saw her all wrapped up and was going to go over and help her and see what her need was. And he gets over there, and it's Debbie. She was in her gardening and staying warm. And I just want you to know, you look like a homeless. But you never look like that on Sunday. Never. But you were dressed to weed flowers and whatever. But that's that unbeknownst thing of just serving the Lord. And it didn't matter that it needed visual or it needed limelight. It just needed to be done. And I know others have served in here and helped in that capacity as well. You've been there for funeral lunches and as well as you and decorating. Oh, let me say thank you. All those things. Both of you have faithfully walked a life of let it be done to me, God, according to your will. And today I thank you for staying available to God. Today we have just a couple of simple things I want to give you. And just so you know, there's an ornament that all the families will receive, and it just simply says Christmas Blessing, NCA 2018. And as you hang this on your tree, and I won't probably say this to everybody, but the idea is for all. When you hang it on your tree, I want you every year to just pause for a moment when that comes out. Say, God, thanks that I could be used. Because we go, God, how could you use me? That's how Mary started off. And yet, through years of wisdom and opportunities, you've continued to say, let it be to me. And I thank you for that. We have a little card, a Christmas blessing card. And then I got a little gift for you as well. I like gifts. How many like gifts? In this, and I have no idea what you're going to do with the lamb. Your mom, oh, she will love the lamb. In fact, I left a couple up here because sometimes people need pillows when they sit on couches, so they can be your pillow. But it's just a little fun bag for Christmas, nothing fancy by any means. Now listen, we love and appreciate you. Whether we have seen what you've done or only if heaven knows about it. Because I'm not here to promote everything you did. I'm just here to say thank you for doing it. And I know the Lord will bless you in the days ahead. And Larry, being our treasurer, you know about this, but something we did a month ago on behalf of you and the ministry, We sent a check to Convoy of Hope and to Honor. And that, my heart, is because you live a life of trying to bless people and kind of disaster relief for your own family, but for others. You've been there. And I want to say thank you. So on behalf of you, that check is sent to honor them as they do ministry, as well as the ladies also raised an offering, and also some things that were purchased, and all that money raised another $3,700. So I think $5,000, is that right, for Convoy Hill, but then $3,700 more, so $8,700. By the way, we're going to come back in February when we're at Missions Emphasis, and I want you to know more about Convoy of Hope. I want you to see what that ministry is doing and how we can link to continue to be a part of that. And I believe God will honor us as we keep doing missions, because it's not about these four walls. It's about the walls that the enemy has put up, and through the gospel, we're going to do our best to tear them down so people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today, along with me, would you once again, I just want to honor Larry and Debbie Wheeler. Would you show your appreciation to them? And I know I kind of get you in there. Love you.
You didn't have to do this.
I know. Can I tell him that? See, here he is again. He goes, you know you didn't have to do this. I know that, Larry. That's the beauty of it. Is I didn't have to. I wanted to, because you have been such a blessing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. People like this have just served, and you may never know, and others have too, and I'm so honored. Tammy, we'll have you come up and help me with this next passage of Scripture. We're going to go to the next part of the story. It's found in Matthew 1. You want me to hold it? Are you all right? I'll flip it for you. And Matthew 1, and listen to this story.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife.
Church, when you hear from the Lord, it's an important thing to not just hear, but to respond. Joseph didn't know all that was going to happen or what would take place, and he probably didn't even understand completely what it all meant. How many of you have woken up from dreams and you're like, I'm not sure I know what it means? But Joseph didn't have the answers, but he did have the dream. It was a dream that guided his steps and his future. And Joseph's decisions, understand, would not only affect his future, but it would have an impact upon the entire world. I'm so glad that Joseph faithfully followed the Lord. Church, may we be as faithful to follow the Lord whenever he speaks to us. Amen? Amen. There's another family in our church that's been following the Lord, and I want to take a moment and honor them. They've served behind the scenes again and probably have never received the applause that they are due. But there are people just willing to follow the Lord and in much a support role, just like Joseph. Whatever you need of us, we're here. And God, just speak to me and I'll follow through. So this morning, I want to honor Jeff and Sandy Rathnaw. Would you come? Noel, would you come? And Ben is here. Ben, you can come on. I don't know if he's... All right, I'm going to put you on that side just so we'll even this thing out. All right. I'll have you out front. Y'all guys sit out front. We'll put the kids at the back. One day they get to go to the big table, but not yet. Good to see you guys. School going well? All right. Yeah, she's back there. Even when I was talking about a family that has just been a support role, I watched your head go, yeah. And then, whoa, not us. Jeff and Sandy, along with your children, you have been a blessing to this church. Sandy, I know that many in your family have served the Lord, but today I want to thank you for serving the Lord. I know your parents have played a big role in the church for many, many years. And a few years ago, we had your dad honored, and that was wonderful. But it's your contribution to the Lord's work that I say thank you for today. Sandy, most recently, you've stepped into a ministry called Celebrate Recovery, and you've been doing that. You have a knack for just loving people where they are. Not for what they might become or could become, but just where they are. And you not only do that, I'm sure in Celebrate Recovery, but you do that wherever you are. I've had those few phone calls from you from this or that and workplace. And Sandy, you've always known what to do. You just do you through the Holy Spirit. You have a way of touching those around you and carrying the love of God within you. Thanks for loving others like God loved you. Through everything, He loved you. And He loves them. And you do that so well. You do God love and God forgiving very well. Jeff, you've been a blessing to NCA as well. One special role that you step into time and time again is NCA Chef Extraordinaire. My wife wanted to get you another smock, what do you call it, a chef's whatever, a smock, I guess that's for painting, an apron. It's the same thing. You tie it around your neck and your back. But you've just stepped into those moments, and I know there's others who have worked alongside of you, but thanks for cooking and cutting up things in the kitchen, except for your fingers. Thank you. Many in the congregation have stood alongside you, so it's not that others haven't. But I also want to say thank you for your leadership and sharing your gifts with us in that area. And then I got to thinking a little bit about history and all the repairs you've helped around this place. Doors that you've replaced. That just when I came, there was about 24 doors sitting in a room doing nothing. And I'm like, why are they here? Well, they're supposed to go here. Well, let's put them there. Who can do it? Jeff Rathnaw. And I don't know how you did it with all the metal and, you know, grinding stuff and making it fit. Thank you for those things. Your entire family has been a blessing. Noel, I love your name this time of the year. I know you get picked on probably, but Noel, okay. But we're not calling on you, okay? And Ben, thank you. Thank you for loving your parents and being here. I know sometimes you feel like you probably got dragged to church, maybe, maybe not. But you being here showed the strength of an intact family who's working through it, no matter what it is, saying we're going to get through this with God. Nothing's perfect. Nobody is. Come hang out with our family for more than an hour. You'll probably find that out. But thank you for your willingness and your presence every week. Like Joseph in the part of the story that we read, you have just kind of supported the ministry. Joseph's role wasn't to have the baby or really do a whole lot. And he just was there, but he needed to be obedient, just like Mary. God's placed you here, and you've been obedient. Walking with Tammy and I through all kinds of stuff. We just appreciate all of you so dearly. And today, on behalf of you, I also have an ornament for your family as well, when you hang it on your tree, just that reminder of, God, you've been good to us. And a little just Christmas blessing, to say thank you. And then we got another bag and another lamb for you. Ben, this is not for you. But we do. We love and appreciate. And there's no gifts. There's nothing we could do that would honor you really the most appropriate way. So I'll leave that to God one day when he gives you crowns and blesses you. And yet we throw it back to him because that's what you are doing even right now. Like Larry and Debbie, you just want to go because why? You've been humble. Behalf, though, of your support and your faithfulness, we are going to bless our church plant, Garden City, IOC, and send them a blessing, an offering. Because as you have blessed us locally, I also want to bless ministries that are local, something that we've invested in and want to see it strive to be everything it can be. And because we know there's ebbs and flows and stuff. But I want to say thank you to Jeff, Sandy, Noel, Ben. Thank you for being godly people. Keep loving the Lord and keep serving him always. And be a support, if that's all it is. Be that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you show your love to the Rathnars? Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. Love you, Jeff. Noel, thank you. I checked with Noel. I'm like, y'all going to be here tomorrow? And Noel's like, yeah, we're going to be here. So, yeah. So there's just a few more I want to honor. Let me take you to another passage of Scripture in Luke 2. Just a few verses. It says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. In this passage, we see Mary and Joseph getting to travel from their home to this very special place. It's going to fulfill prophecy. And of course, Mary is traveling and probably near the end of her pregnancy at 9 months. And I just talked to somebody this morning. She is in her 8th month, and she's got just about 3.5 weeks to go. And how would you like to make an 80-mile journey with me on foot? Probably not. I'm sure that being pregnant and traveling had its own challenges, but they got to Bethlehem. The whole purpose of this travel was to fulfill that prophecy so that the reality of the birth of Jesus would happen and he would be the Messiah, the Son of God. It was no ordinary journey. The journey led to the understanding of a Savior. The journey leads to an understanding for the purpose of Mary and Joseph. In fact, I wonder what they thought. I wish I could have Mary and Joseph's words after the angels came with their announcement. Because sometimes in the common of life, you can lose perspective. But when those shepherds show up and told what the angels told, it just confirmed everything that they had walked for 9 months. Mary was carrying within her, though, the Savior of the world. This journey was not simple, but it was one that forever changed the world. For unto us, a Savior was being born. He would be the Redeemer of everybody who would believe. That was the beginning of the Christmas story. But church, it was through his death and his resurrection that each of us now can carry the Christ of Christmas. And we can know that all is well, that God is working his story into our lives. And with his life in us, we can share his story and his life with others. In fact, Jesus himself would later commission those who would believe to go into all the world with his saving message. Some 2,000 years ago, when Mary carried Jesus, it was the foreshadowing that we too would carry Jesus within us, telling the world that all is well, the Messiah has come. I want to sing a little song with you, and I know you may not know this very well, and maybe you've only heard it once in your life, but if you can catch on, would you just sing it with me? It says, all is well, all is well, let there be peace on earth. Christ is come, go and tell. That night, just somebody got it that this is it. The Messiah, the Savior of the world has come. Today we have a family who has walked that story out for many, many, many years, in which we find the story of Christ's birth because he's been born in their lives. People who have carried the message of Emmanuel, God is with us, because they wanted others to see the Christ and to glorify God in heaven. At this time, and I kind of tricked them a little bit, but not completely, but I want to invite Earl and Joanne Sobeck, along with Viola Krawchuk, to come. I want to honor you today. You're not shy, are you?
No.
No. Not too bad. All right. We're going to take one step at a time. There we go. I'm going to have you sit right there on the end. And maybe we'll squeeze all three of you. All right. Yep. There we go. And then we'll help you get out because you're just going to fall into it. Wow. I called you and I didn't lie to you. I did not lie to you. I said I wanted to honor your mom, but I wanted to honor both of you as well. You have been such a blessing to this church for so many years. In fact, I've got mic number two. Let me just ask a couple of questions. How long have you guys, go ahead and take that, Earl. How long have you guys been a part of this church?
They've been longer than me.
Longer than you. How many years?
We came in 1950, so what is that?
Well, a long time. 68 years.
And I was 8 years old.
8 years old, and we won't go any further on that. But we know Viola, you're 99, right?
No,
99 years old.
Oh, yeah.
In April, she'll turn 100. I can't wait till April. It's going to be great. You have been one of these families that's kind of what we would call the stalwarts or pillars of the church. I know when I came, because of so many years, I know that the last years you've just kind of been taking care of family and maybe have not been as involved. But I was really blessed at the last Joy meeting when you showed up. Earl said, I came to hear you. You didn't go to the old folks meeting to go to the old folks meeting. You came to see me. I was honored. But there's a lot of things I'm sure you've done. And I know your family has walked through a lot of circumstances over these past few years. Grandsons, struggles. And it's not to highlight those, but God has been faithful through it all. And to watch you for the many, many years continue to carry Christ in you. You could have given up at any time, right? You could have said, you know what? I don't know that this means anything, but it did mean something. It meant life. It means eternal life. And I want to say thank you, because without folks like you, I wonder where the church would be. And if I could just say to our young people today, I know that college has its attractions and its teachings and its things that might just pull you away from following Christ. Could I tell you today, guard your heart. The church is lacking and hurting because many older teenagers and college students have been misled, and they get trapped in this world. And they grew up in the church, but then they kind of abandon it. I'm asking you, I want you to be these kind of people in 68 years. I want you to be the people that say, we stayed the course. We stayed faithful. We carried Christ all the way through it. We didn't give up at the hard times. We didn't quit. Earl, I heard a story about you. Don't you love when people tell stories on you? I heard a story about you that when your wife was sick for a season, that you carried her up and down the stairs. See, that's the kind of family that God has called all of us to be, to love in the tough, you know, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, wherever we were at, but keeping Christ as the head of it all. And you've done that. And today we honor you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. And I have an ornament for both of you today. I don't know, Viola, if you have your own tree anymore. Does she have her own tree? Well, I hope that doesn't topple it over. But maybe add that ornament to it and be a blessing. And then I just have a Christmas blessing for you today as well. Now, you're going to help her with her other gift, though, because it's going to be kind of big. Let me make sure I get the right ones here. I got to find the tags. Sweetheart, this is where I need you, right? There it is. So you've got a little lamb also, but you've got the Lamb of God more than anything else. And we just honor you today because I want to be like you. And when I get 99, not to be honored, but to still live for Jesus. That's what I want. So today, would you honor Viola and Earl and Joanne? Thank you so much. Let me see if I can help you up here. All right, you ready? Wow. I'm going to slip it into your bag. Is that all right? All right. We're going to help you down. You ready? Amen. Amen. Wow. I hope I can do steps at 99. Amen. Wow. It's just wonderful, just what people have done. I went and released it, but on behalf of them, what we are doing is we have taken on, and I'm sure they'll remember, but a gentleman who was a part of this church, and in fact, for many years, and when I became pastor, they had some things working in their life, but Rob Burkhart, you remember Rob Burkhart? He is on the mission field today in Alaska with his son, and we have picked them up on our support list on behalf of the Sobeks and Viola. We're going to be supporting Rob and his ministry and what God's called him to. And so we're glad to honor and add him to our story. Just a couple of more today, and then it kind of all dissipates. How many of you know the feeling when you open all the gifts, you do all of that, and then it's all over? That's kind of what will happen today a little bit. The difference I want to happen today, though, is that because we've honored, that we become people who honor. People who walk out of here going, I don't want this to end. I want to keep blessing and keep honoring and keep being a Christ blessing to people. In Luke 2, we read this, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver. Can I pause for a moment? Here's what I read scripture. I get a little bit, my mind goes places. And sometimes good, and sometimes I'm like, I probably shouldn't have thought about that. So I don't know how you're going to take this one. But her days were completed for her to be delivered. I'm just thinking, Mary's going, yes, you know. Come on, any women know it, maybe, I'm just imagining it, okay. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be or will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And we talked about that last week. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I love the story of the shepherds. I love the pomp and circumstance of it all. You know what I mean? It's like, because the humble stable is cool and it's humble, but I'm like, where is the va-boom, you know? And all of a sudden, va-boom, glory to God in the highest, this multitude of angels. I love it because they declared the greatest message that could ever be told. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's always amazed me, though, that the greatest message that would ever be heralded would come and be announced to shepherds. The shepherds in the field just watching their sheep. They've done it so many times before. They were watching and taking care of them, but the greatest job that they would ever do was about to happen. It was to watch over a message that they're giving. Not just a lamb, but now the message of the Lamb of God. In Luke 2, we read about it. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Shepherds saw it, went out and told everybody what they had seen, what they had experienced. And as we read this story this morning, I can't help but think of several families in our church, actually, as I stand here. I'm just thinking of several who are passionate about seeing people discipled in Christ and cared for. This morning, though, it's not just a family. I want to honor a man who has a heart for living out the gospel because the gospel has changed him. He's been changed by the power of God. And this morning, I want to honor David Demarest. David, there you are. No idea, huh?
No.
Have you got somebody with you, though, today?
Yeah, my sons are here, and I...
Your sons are here.
I thought it was a great coincidence. I guess it wasn't. Yeah.
You know, but we gave them a call because we wanted them to be here with you today. You're welcome. Would you come and join your dad? Is all right? I'm not to embarrass you, but just would you come? Thank you. We'll put all three right there in the middle. I'll put your two boys on each side.
And who, my older son got married in June 30th, so we have an extra one here.
All right. Come on in. Listen, we'll make room. We can spread around. We'll put the new couple. Y'all want to sit over here, the new couple? All of you right there. We'll just put you in a row. That's great. Amen. Thank you guys for being here for your dad today. Dads are special. And unfortunately, we're not perfect. I know. I wish I could rewind the clock and redo a few things. But I can't. But what we can do is we keep moving forward and doing the best we know how. And David, you've been one of those guys. In fact, you messed me up this morning because you were sitting over there and you weren't sitting over here. And that's okay.
Brother Mike back there hooked me into Usher. So.
Okay. But we thank you for that. Dave, you've been so faithful to Jesus as I've watched. I want to say thank you for living out that story. And you not just in yourself, but telling that story. In fact, Dave is also serving with our Celebrate Recovery area and helping people. And really, only God knows everything that's gone on in your life. And I'm not here to dig in any way. But Dave, I know things have not been perfect. Maybe not even great. Maybe some wouldn't even say good. But there has been a goodness in your life that's come through Jesus. And you want to share that goodness now with others. And you know, it's like all of us. We all have a past that probably I don't want to flaunt in any way. But that's why when we meet Jesus and we hear his story, we change banners. We pull our banner down that's so ugly, and we lift up the banner of love, of what Christ has done. And we begin to wave it, saying, it's not me, it's Christ in me. It's not, in fact, I've done nothing to earn except by faith, I believe. And David, that's what I've watched in your life. And today I just wanted to say I honor you as I watch you sit there and faithfully come. And I'm not, no pressure on you guys, and hear me. But your dad is here. And I'm not saying, I would encourage you, find a local church, get involved, all of that's good. But this guy has just been faithful and served and done behind the scenes, like this morning, getting drafted as an usher. That's the heart, David, that you're just willing. Why? Because of what Christ has done in you. And I want to say thank you, and this morning for you, again, I have an ornament for you and your family. In fact, I think I've got enough here. I'm just going to also make sure you get one. I've got a bag for it. That'd just be chintzy without a bag, wouldn't it? David, yours. In fact, and that's yours. And there's your bag. But I say thank you, and I want you guys, even when you put that up, you know what? You remember, my dad's been a Christmas blessing, because you have. And Dave, we honor you with just a blessing card, and I've got a bag for you, because I didn't want you to feel left out without a lamb. Yeah. Everybody needs a lamb. I would like to come to your house one day, though, and see where this ends up. As a man, I mean, he's a man. It's like, what are you going to do with that?
You know, me and my son live together. Dave's grown up and got married, so him and I, it's a bachelor pad, so we'll figure out something. But
what do you think? He says, don't ask me. Yeah. Anyway, would you honor Dave this morning, and we bless you in the name of Jesus.
Oh, you shocked me.
And we love you. Thank you for being here today and honoring. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And Dave, on behalf of him and his family, there's another missionary we have just picked up. Their names are David. I thought that was kind of appropriate, David. David and Julie Goldsmith, so they are going to be serving in Scotland and telling the gospel in Scotland. It's amazing over years that places where you think the gospel went, like even America, it begins to degrade over time. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but America is almost becoming the number one country where missionaries are sent today. We're the number one country in sending, but we're also the number one country in receiving missionaries. Because other countries who have found the gospel are saying, you know what? America needs to hear the gospel again. And because we're becoming so multicultural, that many of these countries are sending missionaries from Korean and all different types of backgrounds to the people here who have moved here so they can hear the story of Christ. Well, the story goes on in Matthew 2, 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." I love the story of the Magi and their travels. Interesting enough, these men left the safety and comfort of what was familiar to them, and obviously they were somewhat wealthy, but they ventured out together on a new journey to find the Christ, the Messiah. They somehow seen a star, and if you study the scriptures, you kind of find out they probably arrived about somewhere just less than 2 years or so, or about 2 years old when Jesus would have been about 2 years old when they arrived. But these men were willing to face the challenges of their entourage, going out, setting up, tearing down, going into new lands because they had come from far ways. After acknowledging, of course, the miracle of the star that appeared, they made a decision to be resolute, and we're going to follow that star wherever it leads. In fact, somehow they did it together. That part amazes me. Put three different people together in over 2 years and stay on the same track. These guys were unified and committed. No matter where the journey would lead them, they would go together. And although this journey could have been difficult at times, all-consuming it was, it came up against challenges like King Herod, who was determined to actually kill the Messiah. But because of their faithfulness, they found the peace that passes all understanding, the Prince of Peace. They came in and they presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they worshiped him. Today we have a family that I'm honored to honor because they have lived a life of worship to the Lord and offered their gifts. And this morning I want you to, as this is our final family to honor today, it's Dan and Leah Hawkins. Your children join you as well. Let's see. I don't want to separate your family. I want to keep you together. So, brothers, sit real close to your sister. It's good for you. She'll keep you straight. Dad and Leah. Wow.
I knew I should have dressed up.
You knew you should have dressed up, he said. You think the shepherds changed their outfits? Probably not. And I'm not even sure the Magi, they were just who they were, just like you are who you are. You guys are walking your journey of faith and doing it as a family. And the challenges that you're facing now, children going off to college and all of what that means. And then they start liking people other than you. It's like, even you they like. But I want to say thank you for keeping your eyes on the morning star, for not letting it grow dim to you, keeping it alive. Just think for a moment, if the Magi would have not kept common focus, they could have been derailed. But God was faithful. Remember, he gave the Magi instructions after they visited Herod to not go back, because God was using them like he uses you. And I know you've been faithful to this place. We've become friends over the years. And every step you're taking is really toward a heavenly goal. I honor you and your family as well, because we've kind of walked a journey together. And it's only been by the grace of God. Dan, you were one of those that were helping Jeff in the kitchen. And thank you for those roles. And a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And a great husband and father. And Leah, you've been a wonderful wife. And you've invested in the church, but also even our own personal family with your gifts and your talents decorating. But I got to thinking about fine arts. Watching you invest in your kids, saying, we got to find what are our gifts? And you're still trying to figure that out, Kurt? We keep forcing Kurt to draw and paint. And you love it, don't you? Come on, give me the real answer. I mean, come on, you're going to say it bold. No. He's still struggling because mama and daddy are sitting there saying, you need to learn to do this. They are incredible artists. And Dan's actually has some art that was down in Northville, and what a blessing. But in all of that is that you have given your children opportunities to use their giftings, at least attempt, and to see where that might lead and what that might turn out to be. And I have the ornament and things for you as well. But what we're going to do in honor of your family today is there is a book that this young lady wrote when you were in ninth grade. Remember that? And the name of it is Mighty Engine. And some of you have seen that. And this year, it's taken us this long to walk through it. But all the funds are in place. In fact, over $10,000 is in place for that book now to be printed. And it's going to be going to the Dominican Republic. It's going to be in Spanish and English. It's going into Latin American child care and the teaching. In fact, the Loves, who are our missionaries in the Dominican Republic, are homed now. But when they go back, we're working to have that book ready to go. And then, Sophia, we want to do our best to try to get you there so you can actually put your book into the hands of some of those children. We want to see that happen. because of your investment. Because you've taken your gifts and you've poured them in to your children. And in light of that, the gospel, through that little book, in fact, we'll offer it to you as well. And any fundraising money we get from it here, we'll go right back into pouring. Maybe we'll do book two. But, because I want to hear another story about Bella, because I'm sure that Bella still struggled a little bit. But this story in Mighty Engine has a gospel message behind it. And we're believing that the missionaries and the kids who read that are going to be touched and changed. Amen? So we're going to honor you. So again, we have an ornament for your tree and a card just to say thank you. And then, of course, your lamb. Now, I'll let one of the boys carry. I'll let you, because you're like a lamb kind of guy. And you do too. And you do too. You only get the lamb. They get everything else, all right? But listen, we love you. And it's people like you. Like I said, we could choose so many different people. And you know that. And you, again, it's the humility that all of these have walked with. But thank you for being willing and serving and loving this body and investing your lives so deeply, not just in your kids, but in God's kingdom. Amen. Would you honor them once more? God bless you. Sorry. God bless you. I'll help you up.
Thanks for being on the
phone. Our joy. Our joy. God bless you. Amen. I'll call you next time, Dan, so you can dress up. Says Emmanuel. Not just God around us, not God just showing up, but God with us. And that's what the Christmas story is about, that God will be with us wherever we go. Emmanuel. It wasn't just a moment that God will show up on the earth, but I want to show up in your life. I want to be there. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. He's always been there and he always will be. And this morning as we end, I want to pray a Christmas blessing over you. But if you've never put your faith in Jesus, because the story is all about Jesus, today I invite you to do so. Heavenly Father, this morning we've honored individuals who have let the Christmas story live in their homes and their lives. Lord, continue to watch over them. But Lord, there may be hearts today that have not really let you be Lord and King yet. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you just speak to them in such a gentle way that you want to be Lord of their heart, Lord of their future. And Lord, I just pray that you would enter in today and be welcomed into every heart. Come be our Emmanuel, our God with us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.